I'm not sure what had happened the first time, but the bags didn't make it around. Of course, there's a lot of times where we struggle to know what really happened, that we wonder what led us to where we are right now, that we maybe made it so far and then looked around and said, hold on a second, what were we doing? What got us here? Sometimes you have that in a marriage, that each one thinks that the other person is the one who wants to go out to dinner, and you end up at a restaurant that neither of you like, and you're eating food you don't like that much, and you're paying way too much for it, and both of you get a little frustrated, and you say, why are we even doing this? I don't know. I thought you wanted to. Oh, I thought you wanted to. All right, let's strike this from the list. We don't need to come back here. How did this even happen? Sometimes you see that with kids, that kids get into some trouble or they've made some mess, and you see them afterwards and things are kind of hastily cleaned up. There's still little shards of glass sitting around and the window is suspiciously empty. What happened here? Maybe nobody wants to say. Like, I don't know. We just saw it this way. I guess we just had to deal with it now. Let's not worry about the past. Let's just try to go forwards. Maybe you've had that with an animal, that you got home from going to the store or from a little trip away, and you were gone just a little bit too long. And now the contents of your trash can are all spread across the living room. You had to go ask your dog, what happened? What did you do? Did you do this? Did you do this? I'm sorry. It'll never happen again. And if the dogs were honest, they'd say, this was your fault. You left the trash out. We have big fights in our culture that are based not so much on different opinions of what we should do in the future, although that happens too, but on what really happened when we look back. Conspiracy theories are born out of this. That maybe the idea that everyone else has of what happened isn't what really happened. Sometimes they end up being true. People discover things that others are trying to keep hidden. Sometimes they've made up their own reality of what they think happened. And then we fight about it. What really happened? And how important is it anyways? Like that broken window, at some point you have to move forwards, right? You have to decide what the future is going to be like, how you're going to respond now. But sometimes the past is really quite important. That it matters how we got here or what someone did many years ago. For our faith, what really happened is very important. We have a faith as we follow Jesus that's rooted not just in some abstract teaching or some general principles or a general understanding of who God is, but it is rooted in what really happened, how God revealed himself in this world, what he has done. We've been going through our statement of faith here, and as we're going through this, we see these different points that are gathered from various parts of Scripture and put together in a way that we don't always see when we're just going through a book of the Bible. I love going through a letter or a gospel accounts or an Old Testament book and seeing laid out that story of what God did at that time or the teaching for those certain people at that time. But sometimes it's good to take time like now to say, what does all of Scripture say? If we could put it together into the most important truths, what do we need to know? Today we're talking about Jesus. And so we have the statement up here. This is the fourth statement from our statement of faith. We believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, fully God and fully man. One person in two natures. Jesus, Israel's promised Messiah, was conceived through the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life, was crucified under Pontius Pilate, arose bodily from the dead, ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father as our high priest and advocate. That's from our statement of faith. I'm going to read from the Gospel of John, the first chapter here. Not that this covers everything that's in that statement, but it'll get us quite a long ways into it. Here's how John begins his gospel, as he tells the story of who Jesus is and what he did. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God, who is at the Father's side. He has made him known. This is the word of God. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love and mercy upon us. We thank you for the gift of your word, for the truth of the work of Jesus. Open our hearts and our minds today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Here we begin to look at Jesus. Now, if you took one of the samples that we had in the back, if there's not more and you want one, I can get you another one that has the statement of faith along with the scripture references. Or if you just know the statement of faith off the top of your head, in which case you're more connected to the free church than I am because I don't have that memorized. You'll know that we have this statement about Jesus Christ, and then we also have the next statement, which is about the work of Jesus. So today we're focusing on the person of Jesus, and then next week we'll look at what he has done for us. Here, when we start talking about Jesus, the first thing that we see in the statement, and indeed the way that John begins the gospel message, is talking about the eternal Jesus. The eternal Jesus. Not starting, as other gospels do, with the birth of Jesus, but instead starting with the beginning. In the statement, it says this: "We believe that Jesus Christ is God incarnate, fully God and fully man." John says it this way: "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And again in verse 18, "No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." When we start to talk about Jesus, it is important to remember the eternal Jesus. That when we speak of Jesus, we are not speaking of only a man. A man, yes, but fully God and fully man. That if we set aside Jesus' status as God, then we have a very different type of faith. Part of the statement of faith, the role that it plays, is not only to unite us, not only to bring us greater confidence in what Scripture says and what is of most importance through the teachings of Scripture, but also to help draw those lines where we say, here's the things you need to believe. That if you believe something very different, then you are not following the true faith. And that starts with who Jesus is. There are many groups that will proclaim Jesus in some fashion, but they don't want to call him God. Or they don't want to say he's eternal. Maybe he's been promoted to godhood later on. He was an early creation of gods, perhaps. A prototype, and then he created mankind and things went downhill from there. That they believe something else about who Jesus is. But Scripture is clear that Jesus is fully God, there from the beginning. John says this, "He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him. Without him was not anything made that was made." Jesus was there and active at the time of creation. That Jesus is not just that little baby born in Bethlehem, but he is the eternal God. That matters for how we think of him. It matters how we imagine the gospel stories, the rest of what John says about Jesus and his ministry. It needs to be wrapped up in that awareness that Jesus is not just another person. Not just a good teacher who's struck on some useful wisdom. But this is the presence of God. You notice that our statement of faith does not try to provide answers where Scripture doesn't give them. It says that Jesus is fully God and fully man, one person in two natures. It doesn't try to explain, well, what does that really look like? And in fact, Scripture doesn't really answer that question either. It doesn't need to provide a user manual for what if you woke up tomorrow and you found out that you were fully God and fully man also? It's not going to happen. You don't need to worry about it. How things felt to Jesus really isn't our primary concern. What's more important is to remember who he is and remembering the respect and authority that is by his very nature deserved for him. We see this play out in the gospel messages, especially as we get to the death of Jesus. You remember that as he's being tortured and put up on the cross, that there is this whole enactment of mockery by those who are bringing him there. But truly, they are actually saying the right things and doing the right things in many ways. Lifting him up as king because he rightfully is king. Although they do it mockingly, they speak better than they know. Jesus is the eternal God. But then, of course, we move on from the eternal Jesus to what most of the gospel story is concerned with, which is the historical Jesus. That person who lived and died and rose again. In our statement here, of course, we get a little bit more of it in the next statement. But here it points out his life this way. He was conceived through the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a sinless life, was crucified under Pontius Pilate, arose bodily from the dead, and ascended into heaven. That for us, it matters what Jesus really did. It matters the life that he lived. That our faith is rooted in Jesus who really lived and really died. We'll see in the next week the work of Christ and how it's tied up in those facts of his life. That we must remember this man and what he really did. It wouldn't be enough for us to say, imagine a story of God becoming a man and doing these things. Wouldn't that be quite encouraging? You can just imagine all kinds of things he would do if he was really here with us. For us, it's more than that. It's to say Jesus really was God and he really came and he really lived a real life. In our statement, it doesn't put that many details in with his life, but it hits some of the highlights. Christmas and Easter, those times when the church attendance is up. They made it into the statement here. Conceived through the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. lived a sinless life and was crucified and arose and ascended. Some of the biggest attacks against the Christian faith hit those points themselves. People who seek to find some other version of a historical Jesus and say, well, maybe he was a great guy. Maybe he really lived. Maybe he really said some things. But especially if you come at it with an approach that says nothing miraculous can happen, God doesn't really work in this world, then they begin to deny. Maybe they'd be willing to accept the sinless life. If you don't believe in God, though, what does that even mean? But they'll deny the resurrection, the ascension, the conceived through the Holy Spirit, the virgin birth. For us, those are at the core of the work of Jesus. That he lives a life that is like ours, and yet, in the middle of that statement, you see that it is very unlike ours. He lives a life free from sin. For John, he says it this way, a couple of places in the passage we read. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. That it was of first importance for these apostles, these disciples, these followers of Jesus to remind their audience. Years later, as these accounts were being written down to preserve them, that Jesus had really lived. That you can come with confidence to the gospel messages, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We don't believe these are just encouraging stories, but we believe Jesus really walked. You can go out and see the places that he walked, although there might have been some landscaping done. You can go and see where he may have healed people and fed people and taught. That our faith is rooted in a Jesus who really lived and really died. John spends the rest of the gospel going through that story and even gives that disclaimer at the end. I actually could have written some more, but this will be enough. These will help you believe. It is the actual life and the history of Jesus Christ that brings us to faith. John believes that by telling the story of what Jesus really did, where he went and what he said, you will understand the eternal nature. That Jesus is God and he is the Messiah. But it's more than that, because this message is not just given for an interesting historical study. It's not just that we look at Jesus and say, boy, he did some great things back there. Although that isn't the foundation of our faith, our foundation of knowing God, drawing near to God. Because the statement includes that he ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father as our high priest and advocate. That we look not just to the eternal Jesus and the historical Jesus, but also the present Jesus. The Jesus of today. What Jesus is doing now. John says this. Of course, chapter 1 here, this first part of the Gospel according to John, is not really written from the perspective of John meeting Jesus the first day he sees him. This is now that the story's been told, now that he's seen everything that happened, the introduction that will set it up properly in your mind. He says this in verse 16, from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And although no one has ever seen God, the only God, Jesus, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. That Jesus is active today. That is meaningful to know Jesus today and to be called a follower of Jesus today, because Jesus is active now. That he sits at the right hand of God. He's ascended into heaven and he acts as our high priest and advocate. We see this especially called out in the book of Hebrews, the work that Jesus continues to do. That in one sense, his work was completed on the cross. In another sense, there's a final fulfillment of Jesus' return and setting all things right as we come to judgment. But there's also the present work of Jesus, our advocate, our high priest. That Jesus makes a way for us to know God and be in his presence. That our faith is concerned with where Jesus is today. That he sits beside God the Father. And at the same time, for those of us who have put our faith in him, who trust in him, he lives within our hearts. That we serve a living God. That we call a living Jesus Lord. It's not enough to think that Jesus did some good things way back when. To think that he had some real wisdom to share. Even to try to follow some of his teaching. If you ignore the present reality. What Jesus is doing now. Will you put your faith in him now? Will you trust in him now? Fully God and fully man. God revealed to us. When no one had seen God, we could see Jesus. This man who, through the way he lived his life, through the way he died, through rising again, convinced those early followers, people who were not well educated, were not from the right part of town or of Israel, to go boldly and to risk their lives to tell this story of who Jesus not just was, but is. I know most of you. I know that you know these stories and that you rejoice with them. That you believe in the reality of that Christmas celebration with the angels, the trip down to Bethlehem. That you rejoice again at Easter. That Jesus truly died, and as sad as that is, I remember my daughter, when she first got old enough to really understand Easter, as we're preparing to celebrate, having this moment of shock. Wait a second. So Jesus died? What are we doing here? Like, well, we celebrate because he didn't stay dead. He's alive again. He's alive today. I know that many of you rejoice at this message. If you are hearing it and you struggle with the historical view of what did Jesus really do, know that that was a central concern for many who follow Jesus, even in the New Testament stories themselves. We see Thomas not believing immediately. I don't know, guys. For him to come back alive, that seems crazy. The fact that these stories are passed on to remind us of what Jesus really did, to be put at the center of our faith. I encourage you to take that step if you are not to that point yet of trusting Jesus. To root yourself in what Jesus has done and his work for you. But as I said, I know most of you that you have already taken that step of faith. And for you, I want to give this reminder, this challenge, what John sets out to do in the passage we read. What we see the early church doing as you read through Acts, the letters to churches throughout the New Testament, that you who know Jesus, what will you do with that knowledge? Are you satisfied to have your own personal faith? To say that God has worked to bring this message to you and you sure appreciate it, but that's where it ends. Or will you be one who proclaims this message? Who brings this most important message of what Jesus did, the life he lived, that in hearing that message, others can know the eternal Jesus, that they can know the Jesus of today and put their faith in him. I know for many followers of Jesus, I've talked to a lot of people, many people have no plan or even ambition to bring this message to someone else. But for many people, if you ask them, well, how many people do you want to lead to Jesus this year? They'd say, I'm sorry, years are too short for that. Maybe sign me up for one a decade. Then I have 8 years to just relax before I have to start doing any work. This was at the center of what the followers of Jesus, those who saw him, those who followed him, set out to do, to share this message. There are many ways that we can do this, that we can start this conversation. As we approach the holidays, we come close to Christmas. This is a time when people all around us will be celebrating maybe something they don't know, speaking better than they know to celebrate Christ and Christmas. I encourage you as you make your plans for this Christmas season to think of who you can invite, who you can be planning to spend time with now, that you can get together with and share some of the story of Jesus. One way we can do this is with the shoe boxes that get sent out. It's not quite as personal, but to pack up a collection of things you can send to an unknown place in the world and know that the gospel is going with it. Soon we'll have tags for the angel tree that we can give a blessing to people who are here nearby us. And there are always people around us. People who have not heard the story. People who have not accepted it. Who wonder who Jesus is. Or maybe have not even examined themselves enough to wonder if there's something else out there. Something bigger. As people of faith, we are called to believe. The statement starts with that. We believe. But in believing, we have that responsibility to go and speak ourselves. Let us be people who know Jesus today and continue to serve him and speak his message. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your love and your mercy, for the way that you work in and among us. Lord, strengthen us, strengthen our faith, and give us boldness to speak of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.